Well, thanks for stopping by for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Lou Ann Crane here with our host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. And Doctor, we are so fortunate to have really one of our all-time favorite Family Talk guests here in the studio today.
Mm-hmm. I am delighted to have her back with us, Lou Ann. I first knew of our guest by her reputation before we'd had a chance to get acquainted. Dr. Meg Meeker has spent the last 25 years practicing pediatrics and adolescent medicine, and she's written a number of just fantastic books, which is how I learned of her. And I quoted her book very generously in my book, Bringing Up Girls. Her book is entitled Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters. And I said in that book, read mine first, but then you've got to read that book because it is fantastic.
I agree.
And it does deal with the same general topic, but in a different way. So that's exactly why I've invited Dr. Meeker to be with us again. And this time I want to talk to her about moms. She's just written a wonderful book for mothers called The 10 Habits of Happy Mothers, Reclaiming Our Passion and Purpose and Sanity.
Oh, boy. This is sounding good already, Doctor.
This is going to be, I think, very warmly received by our listening audience. Dr. Meeker, thanks for making this journey to be with us again.
Oh, I'm delighted, and thanks for having me back.
Oh, you made that long trip once before, and we loved having you here, and you've got a red carpet here anytime you would like
to come. Thank you very much.
You care a lot about this book, don't you?
I do.
You are a mother of four.
Yes.
And Lou Ann, you're a mother of four, so
yes,
what am
sir.
I doing here? Is the question. What are the ages of your kids?
Our kids are 28, 26, 24, and 20. Soon to be 21.
Let's start right there. How'd you deal with the empty nest? Was it difficult for you?
You know, I feared the emptiness, I think, before it happened. And actually, when it did come, I wasn't as bad. It was hard. Because, you know, and people said to me, well, what do you have to worry about? You're busy, you've got your practice, you've got your writing, you're so busy. But that didn't really matter, because when a mother faces the empty nest, you feel as though a big part of your life is gone. Mm-hmm. You're a huge part of your identity. Because even with my practice, being a mom was my first love, you know, in our life at home. And so when you take that away, you feel you're not needed. You literally will walk around the house thinking, well, what am I going to do? You have plenty to do, but you just don't know who you are still. So I went through that, and but I learned quickly that even though your kids go away, it doesn't mean that you're not still connected and very close to them.
Well, being a father, it hit me harder than it did Shirley. And I've found that true frequently, because dads have got their mind on their businesses and all the things that they're doing, their professions. And all of a sudden, it's time to say goodbye. And boy, I tell you, when that rolled over me, I had spoken on it, I'd written on it, I'd counseled about it. And when it hit me, I thought I couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
We were on our way to the airport, and our youngest was going off to college. And I knew he's a go-for-it kid. And I'm speaking of Ryan in those days. And he was the kind that would go make a life for himself, and it would never be the same. What really hurt me, or why I dealt with it emotionally the way I did, is that I had loved that part of my life. And it was over.
It's over.
It was done in a day. Now, I took about a month or so to recover from that, and then it sounded like a real good idea. I stayed clean and quiet, and a bunch of advantages I hadn't thought about. But it still is a shock.
It's very much a shock, and it's interesting you say that, because my husband and I dealt with it very differently. It was very hard for me when the kids left home, because I love being at home. I love being in my home. I love having my kids with me in my home. And my husband worked a lot, you know, as the kids were growing up, and it really hit him when our oldest daughter got married. I think that's when he felt it's over. And I think that's because he felt even though she was out and on her own, he still had that father sense of I need to protect and care for her. And she's still my little girl. But that's when he felt that big shift. But it's very, very hard. But God is so good and faithful, and he helps us through those times. And now we're at the point my husband and I really have fun. And I'm the one that wants to downsize our home. And he says, no, we need to have room for the kids to come home and sleep if they want to come home. Mm. I said, really? I think a two-bedroom house would be pretty nice, you know. But so it's funny how we all handle it very differently.
I could see you writing a book on the post-childhood relationship with your kids. Mm-hmm. And it has to change. It must change, and it will change, but you can manage it properly, or you can create chaos.
It's interesting you say that because I've had a number of mothers with children in their 20s who say, how do I do this? Mm-hmm. What do I do? You know, when am I overstepping boundaries? When am I not? You know, how do I make my child independent and strong without enabling them? Should I give them money? Should I not? And there are a lot of emotions that we need to go through as mothers, too, to really separate and allow ourselves to have adult children now.
You got one of them that's married.
One that's married, but three are living on their own, and one is a junior in college, our son.
Being a mother-in-law is...
Yes, a little tricky, but I have a great son-in-law, but I've given him full permission to say what he wants to say. And I said, you know, I've never done this before, so if I overstep my bounds, please just tell me. You know, I've tried very hard. I pulled back on how many times a week I called my daughter after they got married, for instance. And, you know, and just to always say, you know, it's good for you to be at your in-laws for Thanksgiving, or to really help her honor her new mother and her father and her husband. It's very, very important, because one of the best things I can do for her is to help her have a great marriage so that she learns when she's struggling, you don't turn to mom, you turn to him. You don't turn to dad, you turn to him. That's really hard when you're a mom who wants your kids to always turn to you, particularly for mothers. I'm working on a book on mothers and sons right now, and helping mothers really come to terms with that. That yes, you can sort of emotionally stay very close and connected with your daughters for years and years, but there's going to come a point with sons where you're going to have to say, you need to talk to your wife about that. We can't have certain conversations anymore. But if you really want to help him have a healthy marriage, that's what you need to do. And it's very different with daughters. Mm.
You deal with a lot of mothers in your practice, obviously, because they bring their kids there for pediatrics. Are they happy as a class? Do you find that mothers today are contented and happy? Did you write this because there are an awful lot of mothers who are not happy?
I did. And I don't believe there are a lot of mothers who are as happy as they should be. I see a lot of anxiety in mothers, a lot of depression in mothers, a lot of fear in mothers. And it makes me very sad. And I will say it's escalated over the past 10 years. I've been at this for about 25, 26 years now. And I've really noticed a shift in the anxiety level in young mothers. And a lot of the joy is just being taken away from them. And I can see it sitting, you know, sitting out on the periphery. And increasingly, I feel as a pediatrician that mothers will walk into my office doors with their kids, and I feel like I have to get the lasso out, and I have to lasso them and hold on and say, you're not going to go over the edge today. I will help you not fall over the edge. Because many mothers feel they just can't take it anymore.
What are they afraid of?
They are fearful of not getting it right. And when I say it, I mean everything. Mothers believe they're responsible for their child's happiness all the time. They believe their children are never to be bored. They believe that they're responsible for making sure that their kids have every opportunity under the sun. That if their child is gifted and is supposed to go to the Olympics, they're the one to make sure that happens. They are to bake food from scratch, and it has to be organic. Their kid has to be in the fast reading group, not the slow reading group.
That's impossible.
It's impossible. But they believe they are to live an impossible life, but they don't realize they're doing that to themselves. they believe that if they are at work, they need to be stellar at their work. They need to be earning as much money or as their husbands or more. Their expectations of themselves are way out of control. And I tell mothers, you have an image in your mind of yourself as the perfect mom. You can never be her, so get rid of her because she's killing you. And the problem is all of their friends are doing the same thing. So they've all jumped on this train, and it's speeding up very quickly, going to a place they're not exactly sure where it's going, and they all want to get off, but they want the other person to go first.
You said that this appears to be characteristic of today's mothers more than 10 years ago.
Much more
What has done it to them?
Peer pressure. We are under tremendous amount of peer pressure. We live in a culture that says you need to lose that last 10 pounds or 20 or 30. That's just a given. You need to be at the gym. Your kids need to be keeping up with your friends' kids. Your kids need to go to Yale or Harvard or one of these places. Your kids need to make a lot of money when they grow up. This is your job and this is your life. And we absorb all of those messages and we believe this is what we're supposed to do. Mothers who stay home full time with their children feel very guilty because they're not working. Mothers who work feel very guilty because they're not spending enough time with their children. So they're
everybody
feels guilty, and then they dislike one another because they're doing what the other person feels they should be doing. So women can't win. So we're marketed a lot of goods. We're to bring home the bacon and fry it up in the pan. Well, we've gone way beyond that superwoman image, and now we're to be super mom, superwoman, super everything. I have seen, and maybe we talked about this before, I am very disturbed because I've seen an increase in eating disorders in mothers of my patients.
Yes. Yeah.
Mothers who have 18-year-old kids who want to wear smaller jeans than their 18-year-old daughters. And this is nothing but peer pressure.
And some of this is that the opportunities are so much greater.
Exactly.
With the fact that I can have a smartphone and a laptop, I can be working off-site while my son is playing soccer, so I should be.
Exactly.
And then we are just into a wild frenzy thinking we should do it all. You're describing every woman I know, Meg.
And we're living in a frenzied state. Mm-hmm. And it's no wonder that the use of anxiolytic medications has skyrocketed and antidepressants has skyrocketed. Mm-hmm. Postpartum depression is much more frequent. And a lot of that medication is needed, but a whole lot of it isn't needed. And I really am afraid for mothers because they're not enjoying being mothers.
Because we're afraid to say no.
Exactly.
If an opportunity comes up to be the band parent or something and I can do this, I should. And I will look weak. I will look unable to compete. That's one of your points talking about the competition.
Luann, you're talking to Dr. Meeker as though you understand what she's talking
about. Perhaps a tad.
We both do.
And I see it. I'm guilty of it. I really am. It's very hard to train yourself to say, especially bright, talented, capable women, of which there are so many out there, and women who are God-fearing moms who know the stakes are so high. So in addition to the ability to say I can juggle or I have these talents, then you put the overarching spiritual component on it. And I think that's where almost the frenzy comes in because the stakes are so much higher.
Yes.
If I don't do it right, I'm going to lose my children for eternity.
Right.
You talk about two characteristics, as a number of others, but two that I'd like you to focus on. One of them is competitiveness, which Luann just mentioned. The other one is jealousy.
Yes.
And are women given to those two factors more than their husbands are?
I think they are. Again, I think it's because of peer pressure. Women are very competitive with other women, and mothers are very competitive with other mothers. And when I say that at conferences, women sort of raise their eyebrows and say, well, I'm not competitive. And I say, well, let me ask you this question. The last time a new kid came into your kid's class and you introduced yourself to his mother, did it occur to you in your mind to look and see how is she dressed and what was her life like and what was her home like? And did she have a job outside of the home? And if she did, was she making much money? And gee whiz, she was thinner than you. Did you run through any of those things in your mind?
Was her child a superstar?
Yes. Well, then once we size up mom and figure out how we compare to mom, then we move on to her kid. So is her son, who's now in my son's class, in the fast reading group, but my son's in the slow reading group, uh-oh, I better get with the program, i.e., I better be more like her. So we're very, very competitive with women. And we do it, and we have these thoughts, and we're competitive with our kids and their kids. And we don't even realize we're doing it. It's so entrenched in our thinking. That's why I wrote the book, to say we are very, very competitive with one another, and we need to stop it, because guess what? We need women as friends.
Mm. Your subtitle for your book is Reclaiming Our Passion, Our Purpose, and our sanity. You really mean that?
I mean it.
Have they gotten away from us?
Absolutely. Mothers have lost their passion for being mothers. They're exhausted. They complain that their kids run them around. They complain that they're tired all the time. They complain they never get enough sleep. They complain about their kids, whatever their kids do. And so they've lost their passion. They've really lost their focus as mothers. And when I look at a mother and I simply say to her, what is your job as your child's mom? Tell me what your job is. She'll rattle off a list of activities. I said, that's not your job. Your job and your purpose as this child's mother is to love him and to guide him and to pray for him and to launch him. That's it. We have come to believe that great moms rear successful kids. And then we define that success as playing Division I sports in college, getting into the college of their choice, getting a certain job, whatever. But that's really not what it's about. Being a great mom is about raising a man or a woman who is a good, God-fearing person, period. We've totally lost sight of that. And in order to get to that point, we need to do a lot of things like teach our kids how to handle boredom, teach our kids how to fail, teach our kids how to pick themselves up, teach our kids how to be honest and courageous. And those are good things that we should be doing for our children, but we've lost our purpose as moms, and we pull out our list of successes that we need to get our kids to, just like all of our friends are doing.
Where does homeschooling fit into all that?
Oh, wow. Well, I see some very relaxed homeschooled moms, and I see some very tense homeschooled mothers. I think homeschooling is a wonderful opportunity for mothers to cut themselves away from the fray, to say, I'm making a conscious choice to avoid some of that competitiveness with my peers. So I'm not going to join in, and I'm going to focus on living very differently with my kids. And that means schooling them in things other than just academics, teaching them how to live with integrity and how to live with purpose and how to fear God and how to love God. And so it adds an extra dimension to their parenting. Where I fear for mothers who homeschool is if they're doing it for the wrong reasons, because they feel that in order to be their version of God's best mom, that's what they need to do. They need to be doing it because they think it's right and good and it's what God wants them to do, not because they have to do it in order to be the perfect mom in their eyes.
Well, I certainly agree with you. I am a big supporter of homeschooling. I just look at those kids that come out of homeschooled homes, and they're different. They know more about who they are. They know more about who God is, typically. And the learning environment is often far superior. So I believe in it, but I also believe there's an awful lot of pressure on women at that point.
Mm-hmm. Because right now, Doctor, the woman who's not homeschooling is beating herself up.
Yes.
Saying, well, see, I'm comparing myself right there.
We just got it fixed so that women cannot win.
Mothers won't let themselves off the hook. And every mother, I believe, goes to bed at night reviewing in her mind all the things that she didn't get quite right.
And so moments when she lost her temper.
Lost her temper, exactly, because she doesn't enjoy her kids. Being a mom is so much simpler, and it's so much more joyful than we make it. And I really believe that God wants to help mothers come back to a place where we love it and we enjoy it, and we can look at our friends and say, you're parenting that way, good for you, but not me.
And at the end of the day, truly, your message is if your children were around a peaceful, contented, warm home, that is way more than the list of activities that they accomplished that day.
Exactly. Here's a case in point from my own life. Two of our daughters were coming home a few weeks ago, and I, as the conscientious, loving mother that I wanted to be, wanted to make sure that the beds were clean and the house was neat, all their favorite foods were cooked, and I had made extra food so that they could freeze it and take it home because they're working and didn't. And in short, I made a list of things in my mind that I wanted to bring to them as my perfect mom self. And I was so tired getting it ready that I stopped myself and said, wait a minute, I am going to be resentful when these kids walk in the door because they made me work so hard getting ready for them to appear. Oh. And I thought, wait a minute, stop. So I stopped myself and I said, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to bake their favorite foods. I'm going to be relaxed and ready to enjoy them. Because what my kids wanted from me was for me to open the door and have a mother ready to say, how are you? I'm so glad to see you. And to sit down and listen, not an exhausted mother with all the right foods cooked. That's what they wanted. That's where the great part of being a mom is. Mm. So, but I literally, even after I wrote the book, had to stop my thinking and say, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. You know, why are you doing what you're doing? Because I thought, well, that's what a good mom does. And I said, no, that's not what a good mom is ready to receive her kids, and she's in a good mood.
Let me express a heretical thought, according to what we're talking about. Sure. What you're decrying here is one of the reasons that I admire and respect women so much. They try so hard.
Yes.
They really do. They pour themselves into the people that they love and do it very, very well. You're concerned that they can overdo it and put such pressure on themselves that they cannot achieve it.
Yeah, we're
and
there.
And they're doomed to failure.
Yeah, exactly. And Christian moms are especially prone to this because we amp it up. You know, we say, well, but and in addition to all this, we need to be spending at least 15 minutes to half an hour devotion every day.
Yep.
Alone and then with our kids at the family table where nobody argues, you know. So we sort of amp it up. And I really believe this isn't where God wants us to live. It's not what he intended for mothers. It's not, he gave us motherhood to enjoy. And he gave us our children to really enjoy. And this really isn't about, you know, we're not talking about adding to mother's plates and saying, okay, now you need to do this. This is about doing less and feeling really good about doing less. Because ultimately, we're living under the impression that we need to be doing this for our kids because we really don't trust God to do it, do we?
Hmm.
Ouch. That nails it right there.
Dr. Meg Meeker, I love having you here because this is the kind of practical stuff that you believe and you teach so well. And I'm so glad you're here. Can we do it another day?
I would love to.
All right. The title of your book is 10 Habits of Happy Mothers, Reclaiming Our Passion, Purpose, and Sanity. And it is a very, very practical book. And we need to get into some of those 10 healthy habits that you're talking about. And we will do it next time. I already know the question. I can't wait to ask you.
Great.
So we'll pick it up right here next time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Doctor, really, I just want to close out today. This has such biblical foundation to it. I've just been reminded, Psalm 113:9, he settles the childless woman in her home as a happy mother of children.
Mm.
We are called to this by God himself. And here at Family Talk, we are so committed to equipping moms for that great calling. One of the ways we want to do that for you, listening mom, is by connecting you with Dr. Meeker's book, which we've been discussing today. Again, it's called The 10 Habits of Happy Mothers, and you'll find that at drjamesdobson.org. I would even suggest you pick up an extra copy to send to a girlfriend. What an encouragement that would be for her. Once again, you can find that along with Dr. Meeker's other books at drjamesdobson.org. Now, this quick reminder, if you cannot be with us for the next part of our time together, you can always call us for a CD, which will include our entire conversation with Dr. Meg Meeker. The number to call, 877-732-6825. And this reminder before we sign off, Family Talk is completely listener supported. And if your interaction with Family Talk has helped your particular family, would you consider a donation at this time? I assure you, no gift is too small, and you can do so easily at drjamesdobson.org or on our new Family Talk app, or one last time by calling us here, 877-732-6825. Thanks so much for tuning in today, and be sure to join us next time for more discussion with our good friend, Dr. Meg Meeker. That's right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.